Are we ready?
We're ready.
Okay.
Velkommen til Vont Podcast.
Are we German now? Making sure my phone is
I don't know if that's
silent.
Swedish or if that's... it's one of those Scandinavian languages.
Scandinavian. I thought we should say 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year! Because this will go out on New Year's Eve day.
Perfect. All right. In 3, 2, 1,
Happy New Year! I should have got our thing. We have them.
Oh, I'll just fix it in post.
Never. I've been taught to never say that you will fix it in post.
Thank you.
Because that is really hard on the editor. You look so cool with your hat backwards, Mr. Joe Cool. Do you remember Joe Cool? It was like, wasn't it part of a brand? Was he like a dog?
Joe Cool? Was that the smoking camel?
No, that's... Yeah. That's was that the, Joe Cool?
Yeah, you've been...
Oh, I've been brainwashed.
Yeah, tobacco industry has got you.
Although I never smoked in my life because my dad didn't. I thought it was disgusting.
But you knew the logo or you knew the...
Yeah, Joe Cool.
You know, if you turn that, if you look really closely at the illustration, his schnozzeroonie looks like a penis.
I've heard that. I have heard that. It's like, it's like a magic eye.
Yeah. When people hide things in artwork, it's amazing.
I know.
Welcome to another episode of Opinions That Don't Matter. I'm Sean.
And I'm Katie. Howdy do. That reminds me of the Disney movies. I remember, I forget how old I was when people were like, oh, there's like hidden messages in Disney films. Oh. And they, and it was true because I happened to at the time, because I was raised in the time of VHS, that it was a certain period where this disgruntled worker worked at Disney and instead of quitting, put like sexual innuendos all over their films.
Little Mermaid. There's
and
one in there.
Aladdin. Little Mermaid, Aladdin, and Lion King from my memory, but there might be more. Let us know. Anyway, the one I remember the most was in Aladdin when Aladdin is going to see Jasmine and she has that lion. I forget the lion's name, but it's like her pet.
Simba?
No, that's Lion King. Yeah.
Okay. Aren't there crossovers? It's like the Marvel Universe,
right? No, it's not at all. Very separate.
Bambi.
No, it's like Maya. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'll look it up. The lion doesn't trust him. And it's like, arr, and he's like, good kitty. Good. Teenagers take off their clothes. And it's under the breath. And it's crazy. And so I put in the VHS because everybody else had like DVDs and it wasn't on there, but it was on the old ones.
Right. I'm sure they've edited that out now, but
100%.
I know that, or I don't know for 100%, but I believe I remember in Little Mermaid, there was also in the seashells, it was written sex.
No, that's Lion King when he goes, huh, and he like slumps onto this big thing of flowers and grass and it like swoops out into the air.
It's probably, you know, a fun thing to do if you work there to like leave your mark, but I bet you when you get caught, they just execute you on site at Disney. They're like,
mm-mm. Disney's pretty crazy. No, he, I guess, quit and never told them that he did these things and then people found them from what I understand, but I could be completely wrong.
Urban legends are pretty cool.
It was just a funny thing that happened in my, I don't know, how old would I have even been when this came to be known? It was like, I had to be like late teens, maybe even early 20s. No, because I met you in early 20s and it was like long before then. So late teens. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Weird. Weird
amazing
things.
Amazing. So what's new with you?
My finger is healing.
Ah, beautiful.
So that's good. I have two stitches, like I said last week, and it's I should have just kept my bandage off to show people. It's really not that big of a deal.
Okay.
I could take a picture and we could put it up if it's going to gross people out. I apologize, but the skin's all sealed up. It honestly only looks bad because of the stitches, you know.
And that was rhinoplasty that you had done.
Yes,
on your finger, which is interesting.
Raja, that's the lion's name.
Oh, okay.
I had to look up Jasmine's lion's name.
Gotcha.
Anyway, I had that little, I don't know what it was, removed blood clot nerve bundle. We don't know. East Coast, West Coast, we don't know. Anyway, it's all honestly healing fine. If the stitches were out, it wouldn't be, I'd be feel better. Because like I bump the stitches and then it hurts. But otherwise, like it doesn't really hurt anymore. And I can pretty much do whatever I want.
Amazing.
But I get the stitches out in like 5 days. So then we're home free, everybody. And that'll be 2 weeks after
and
the surgery.
And you're waterproof now, right?
Yeah, I can get it wet.
Okay.
I wash it every day.
Perfect.
I'm supposed to wash it.
I only wash my fingers every other day just because
it's I like so the way dry. They smell. Gross.
Like raisins.
Oh my God, gross. No, thanks. So that's been new with me. Also, my back is better. I think it's my desk chair.
Could be.
I know we have a nice desk chair, but I don't think my body thinks it's a nice desk chair. Because yesterday I sat in it and then it hurt me. And I haven't sat in it today and I'm okay.
Okay. Well, we'll get you a new desk chair. Maybe a standing desk.
That might be better.
Maybe a standing running desk, like it's a treadmill.
No, thanks.
No? Okay.
I'm already tired.
I know.
But just honestly, even just like a new lumbar support thingy. Any recommendations? Do we have any physical therapists out there? Anybody who's also had problems? But we went and got massages a few days ago.
I got worked over,
man. Me too. It was so good. But it was also really, like, I bruised. I've never bruised. But I think it's because I was taking ibuprofen for this thing.
Oh, yeah.
It can make you more susceptible to bruising. But the guy had, he was a Marine, retired Marine. He got into massage because he had so many ailments. And so he found it really helpful to know, you know, nerves, muscles, bones, like how, how essentially your body works so he can fix it. And it was all the difference for his life.
I really believe in massage. I don't believe in chiropractors, but massage. Remember that swimmer, Dara Torres? She's an American Olympian.
I don't keep up with swimmers, really.
She was so prominent for so many Olympics. It's one of those people who did, oh, I did 12 Olympics.
Yeah, like Michael Phelps or something.
You're like, four. It's like a lot.
That's your whole life. Years. Oh, my God.
And, you know, she's like 70 and still winning. But the last Olympics she participated in, which I believe was 8 years ago or 6 years ago, I remember reading an article about how they were keeping Humpty Dumpty, you know,
together because she's older.
Yeah. And it was, she'd get up in the morning, super massage for like an hour and a half. I'm going to make it up, but super massage for an hour and a half, then have breakfast, then have another massage, maybe on your lower legs or I don't know. And then, you know, go and warm up in the pool, get out of the pool, have another massage. It was just massage interspersed.
Interdispersed.
Interdimensional massages. Here
dispersed.
We go.
You say disperse, you're dispersing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Throughout the day. And leading up to the Olympics, the massages were more and more. I was like, I could be an Olympian.
Turns out you don't have to work out at all.
You just have to.
It was like workout and massage, workout, massage.
Get in the pool, swim fast, and then we'll give you a massage. I'll be like, okay, I'll swim as fast as I can.
Just show the doggy paddling, guys.
Can you imagine if you had the Olympics for non-Olympians? That would be more exciting to watch than these perfect specimens of humans.
I mean, both. People like both. It's almost the same reason people like, whatchamacallit, American Idol. Right. It's like, what's that called? You never silence your phone, dudes.
Silence!
Silence! Anyway, I find that really interesting in the training. Even there's this couple, I think I talked about them before, that I met when I went to New York for the same people who do the Healthy Voices Conference.
Okay.
They brought a bunch of creators out, essentially. It's how I met Dr. Ben Ryan, he was on my podcast. He's a neuroscientist. He's amazing. Anyway, and he works at Stanford. But these two, I think they're married, or yeah, they should be married by now. But they are both Olympians. He's is it para-Olympian? Okay. He is missing both his legs. Okay. When he was born, he had like some bone disease or disorder or something. They had to amputate both right above the knee. So anyway, and she is a long jumper. And they talked briefly with me about like their training schedules. And when we were in New York, they're like, I think we're going to stay a couple extra days. And I was like, awesome, do it. I would love to, but Sean's not here and we have a dog and blah, blah. Anyway, they decided, I saw him at the airport. I thought you guys were staying. They're like, yeah, we have to get back into training. A couple more days would put us out of our schedule. And I was like,
you should try taking a couple of years off. Yeah.
I'm like, look at me. No, but anyways, back to the masseuse.
Yeah.
He found massage to be so healing for him that he decided to go into it himself because he was like, I was studying it myself to try to figure out how to best help myself.
Yep.
And he's like, I always thought I just had a bad back since I was like young. And he's like, and then I realized, no, it's just because you're not taking care of yourself. And I didn't know. He's like, no one in my family talked about stuff like this. He's like, I used to not even really drink water. I would just drink pop all day. He's like, so essentially I had no lubricant in my body. And wondered why I hurt so bad.
Right.
And I was like, yeah. And I said, people don't educate. And he goes, I know, no one talked about it, you know. And he's like, and everybody in my family passes away like in their 60s. It's like not good. And so he's like, I decided to take better care of myself and lost some weight as a result, not the goal, but also was able to, heal some of his ailments. Anyway, homeboy worked me over, like my hip that was been hurting. Like I have some bruises there, like three little bruises or so. And it was probably the best massage I've ever had.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt while he was doing it. That's why I'm like, how did I bruise? But I think it's because I had the ibuprofens and stuff.
It was good. They weren't our normal. I mean, we've only been there two other times.
Maybe three, but yeah, something like that. Well, not many.
I think you've done one more session than I have.
Maybe. I don't think I've gone there without you. But anyway.
Either way, the person that I saw was new as well.
Yeah, we usually see the same people.
She was all of 5 foot, if that. Uh-huh. And she goes, just so you know, I'm a little heavy handed. I was like, well, okay, you know, like.
She's like.
I was like, go right ahead. I'm fine. Well, I mean, when she took out the Louisville Slugger, I was like, uh-oh, you know.
Well, back in Santa Monica, we used to go to this place called the Massage Place on Montana. It's a lovely chain in LA. It makes massage much more affordable. But you had that, was she Taiwanese, I think? Yes. Where she would take her shoes off and get on and like with her feet, remember?
Yes, but I didn't know how she did it because at one point I heard her voice in front of me because it's dark and your eyes are closed.
Like,
you're
face down and like, whoa, la, la. Mm-hmm.
That music.
It's almost like those sound baths.
Yeah.
You're like,
oh. Yeah, you're just tripping balls, you know? You're like, mm-hmm. Oh, where am I? And she goes, I'm going to, work on your lower back. But I heard her by my head. And next thing you know, she would like
spider monkey.
Well, she had gotten up on the table or on me. I was the table and she was walking around by my lower back. I'm like, how did she? It just must have been because I was so zoned out.
She
has
a little step stool, I'm sure. It's not like she like jumps and but spins. I didn't like
hear
a
her
ninja.
Move. Yeah. It was just like floated.
And there are those places. I think it was called the Olympic Spa in LA, some spa anyway, where they like specialize in a certain type of massage and they have the things above the bed. So they hold on to them while they like push their feet into you.
Yeah, I would be worried.
You can't see below the table. I was kicking my foot.
Ow, he's just kicking me. The person's just taking out their anger.
Yeah.
Mm. Speaking of pain relief.
Yes.
So as I've mentioned on, I'm always complaining, but as I've
not
mentioned.
Really, you're not really a complainer. You just have ailments because we're getting old.
You know how you know you're getting old?
Mm-hmm. You hurt yourself sleeping.
Yeah, that's the joke. The PG version of the joke.
Uh-huh. Anyway.
So my feet have been messed up, right? The yes. Hallux limitus, which is.
Your big toe lower joint.
The big knuckle on the big toe. Or no, the
not onto the toe.
The one that attaches the toe to the foot.
Yeah. I'm like, how do we explain this?
Yes. This is a metatarsal.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is a carp.
These are phalanges.
These are carpal. And then metatarsal is your feet. Mm. Carpal
tunnel is when this gets.
Yeah. Well, you can tell I never took anatomy, but I know enough. So anyways, the big knuckle, as I've talked about in the past, if you already heard this, don't worry, it'll make it quick, is seizing up. There is another word for it. It's called turf toe, but basically limitus and then rigitus is the next stage. Rigitus is where the joint has completely failed.
It gets rigid versus it's limited.
I know. It's like Latin is pig Latin, you know?
Yeah, it is.
So
pig pay Latin-ly.
Yeah. My big toe hurts, eh?
my ig bay.
The Romans were Canadians.
Okay.
Oh, Terry Buckley. Yeah. So I really thought over the last year that I had lost a lot of mobility and I was in pain. I'd stand up and I was ginger. I looked like an old man. I was creeping around.
I had
no
idea how bad it was for you because I'd never see you. I mean, in the middle of the night or if you were coming in, like getting out of bed or something, I would notice. But other than that, I never noticed.
Yeah. And I really hadn't noticed because it's like I'm like a frog in a pan, see? Where they
slowly getting worse.
Yep. And
it's
then
been hurting you since, God, was it before we were married? Yeah, it was.
It wasn't the same though. That was.
Plantar fasciitis.
No.
You remember you started rolling your foot on this tennis ball and stuff and it alleviated because there was some kind of damage done to your foot because we played soccer on that asphalt.
Yeah, so that was when we were playing indoor soccer, right? I think I had messed up. But I think that was just. The muscles and the tendons.
Oh, like soft tissue, not bone.
Running on that hard surface was bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fine. That went away. But the turf toe, as they call it, the big joint, mm-hmm. it's arthritic and it's failing. And the next step is to fuse it.
Mm-hmm.
But over the last 6 months to a year, It had become red and inflamed and like swollen.
Yeah, puffy, you guys.
And I didn't really notice it because it happened slowly. All this to say, I don't know how this happened, but a company reached out to the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Pure Spectrum CBD. Okay. So in full disclosure,
we don't get paid, but they do give us stuff. Yeah, gifted.
They
gifted
asked thing. if they could send me CBD stuff.
How'd they learn about us?
I have no idea. So I don't know if they were cruising. Like
we're so esoteric, this podcast.
Right. They're looking for, you know, people who have jacked up feet. Mm-hmm. Some search term, because my descriptions for the podcast are so bad. But they found us and they're like, hey, it sounds like you know.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, yes, I do.
I was like, damn straight, because it's expensive.
Yeah.
When you don't, you know, when you don't know what you're buying, basically.
Yeah, because it's a lot to like invest. Because I've even done some brand deals. There was a brand called Equilibrium, mm-hmm. and it was just creams. And I found that stuff to be like moderately effective.
I never knew that to work.
But it hasn't worked like what this works, which is different. And I'm not blaming Equilibrium because I thought it was like a good product. I let my mom try it. You tried it. Anybody who had aches at the time, I didn't have any aches. So, I mean, thank God, should have been living large then. But this like tincture, which is like where it's a dropper and you, any ingestment or smoking is, I think, I don't know why, gets into your body more effectively.
Yeah, I don't know how the CB receptors are.
Yeah.
Roger Dodger. We got a sore foot in lane 3.
2-4, good buddy, 2-4.
Yeah.
Is that what they say?
10-4?
10-4.
2-4.
2-4?
Yeah.
2-4 is like
a 2-4 a beer, please. That's why your feet hurt.
They say that in Canada, 2-4 instead of a 24 pack. It's really funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Continue, sorry.
No, that's fine.
Pure Spectrum?
Yeah. I was like, okay, sure. Send it and I'll try it. I'll evaluate it. I'm making no promises though.
Is it just tinctures?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I wasn't going to make any promises. I just said, sure, send it by. And if I like it, and they're super cool. They said, if you like the product, just let people know. And I was like, okay, cool. And they said, there's no,
yeah, we don't have to say
no obligations. Yeah. Don't say, you know, don't BS people. I was like, mm-hmm. No, of course not. I'm not going to anyway. So
we're also not those people.
They give you a discount code. And if you like it, you like it. So oh, gotcha. I get it.
Oh, so they can get a discount if they want some.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll put it in the description okay, below.
Cool.
But so I got a shipment mm-hmm. of, one that's, called Energize or something. I don't know. I'll put the link in
the description. We should have brought them out. But anyway, continue.
No big deal. They're so casual about talking about it.
Yeah.
So one is for daytime and one is for nighttime.
Okay. Is it different cannabinoids that are more... I guess so. Indica, my friends always call it Indicouch. So that's like a strain of actually like weed.
Right.
But it's like sleepier, cannabis, more... Oh, cannabis. Official, yeah. Oh, whatever. Ganja. That's a little more sedative. Has more sedative effect. And then, you know, others aren't as.
Yeah, sativas, I think, are energizing to a certain extent.
Okay.
And then indicas are in the couch. Like, is that what
that's
you
what
said?
That's what they said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know
it's
enough
the
about
only
this.
Way I can remember.
But so. Inside the plant, there's a bunch of different cannabinoids that mm-hmm. they didn't really know that much about, or they weren't studying that much.
Well, they couldn't. Like, law would prohibit some kind of, you know, actual ethical legal studies that yes. could be cited. You know,
so the two products that so they said, go on the website, pick whatever you like and we'll send it. I was like, cool. You know, I love free stuff, Katie.
I know Sean has a problem.
If it's
so
free.
Much so that when, so he also doesn't like clutter, but when we go to events like Playlist Life, and for example, there's a shit ton of free stuff, but a lot of it is stuff that like we won't use or I don't want, like I don't need another fanny pack or you don't need a pair of high top white sneakers. Because he wouldn't buy them anyway. And he's had a pair of white Converse that he never wears. But it's free. So Sean feels the need to take it. And then we had to pay a baggage overage for all the stuff that he wanted to bring home.
Yeah, I even, what was that eyelash extender?
Yeah,
that I
got? The Grande Lash.
I was like, I'm getting four
Sean's
of these
like,
boxes.
I'm going to take more. And I was like, well, at least give one to your sister.
Well, there was a sticker on it that said $69 value. And I was like, I'm getting four of these. And I was like, it's for my girlfriend. And you're standing right there, you know? And
no, they don't even ask. Sean just puts it in the bag, but insists on taking this stuff. And have you used any of it?
No, I don't even know where it is. Somewhere in the cabinet.
It's probably under his sink would
right,
be my
right
guess.
Next to my Rogaine.
Sean throws everything under his sink.
Too late. Yeah, the sink is the catch-all.
I'm glad we have separate sinks
because there's a kitchen sink underneath my bathroom sink.
No, but since I met Sean, the bathroom sink under area has always just been fucking chaos for him. He just throws everything in there.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's probably where all the things that you don't really use, but you...
I'll go looking there afterwards.
I'm sure you'll find it.
Okay, so back to the
CBD. I bet money on it. Mm-hmm.
It's a tincture. Mm-hmm. I took it. It's been an...
Like how many drops are we talking or how much?
Take a dropper.
Yeah, just one little bloop?
No, the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
That's so like one, a milliliter. 1 milliliter. Okay. Yeah. I've been doing that for 15 days, roughly. Oh, okay.
I had no idea.
The pain has gone from... when it was really hot and not hot temperature wise, but like when high. The pain was high, mm-hmm. I would say it was like around a 10. Sometimes like I would just get a sharp pain. I couldn't run around with the dog. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it has dropped, I kid you not, to a 2 sometimes a nothing.
Wow.
And I'm like, and I thought.
What do you think it is? Because we've tried a ton of things over the years. What do you think it is about their product? Is it the quality better, I assume, or stronger?
Okay. So
I have no idea.
It could be strength. And here's what I think it is. So this is not a commercial for them, by the way. This is me like...
Yeah, so we've been trying to figure this out for a while for Sean.
Well, and you can casually smoke the marijuanas, but you don't really know... No, I'm not talking about in Texas or not. I'm saying in general, like you could be someone who, I smoked the weed, you know?
Is that what people say? Well, I'm pretty sure that's not what people say.
You know what I'm saying? You smoke the tweeds?
No, yeah. Just say, I smoke weed sometimes.
Yeah. But... Like, I don't really know all these products or strains and, you know, like percentages. I don't have time to learn that, you know? Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid, this wasn't something that people talked about that much, I guess. I don't know. But I think now that they've done a lot of investigation into the different cannabinoids, mm-hmm. we're learning, or they're learning, and I'm benefiting from the combination of the different cannabinoids. So mm-hmm. what these tinctures are, they're CBD based. Mm-hmm. And then the daytime one, which is the Energizer or whatever, mm-hmm. I don't know, the Energizer Bunny, let's call it.
Okay.
It's like having a cup of coffee. And that one is with CBG.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I thought it was CBD and CBN.
So there's CBN, CBG, CB...
XYZ.
Yeah, there's a ton of these different cannabinoids. Mm-hmm. I think there's like over 100 of them in the plants that they find.
Oh, wow.
That's cool. You know, all these different properties. Mm-hmm. But they're just trying to figure out what works with what.
Interesting. So it's probably gotten better over time so that, whatever blend you're getting is actually working for you.
So I have a nighttime blend, mm-hmm. like which I take around 6 o'clock. And that's why I get sleepy by about 8 o'clock, I think, because I'll be sitting on the couch. I'm like, it feels like I had a cup of tea.
Then you should wait and take it like eight.
Like a hot cocoa or something.
Oh, okay.
Not cocoa.
Warm milk.
Warm milk. Thank you. I'm trying to think of what would put me to sleep. Cup of coffee. But the daytime one, it's like having a cup of coffee. So I had it this morning. Mm-hmm. I was like, dun, 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 dun. Well, I'm running around with the dog. I just feel like $1 million. Mm. And then the nighttime blend.
Well, that's good. We'll check it out, you guys. I find this stuff interesting because for a while we were, vaporizer. And that was really interesting for the CBD stuff because my back was killing me. So I smoked, was it mom grass or dad grass or one of those?
Right, things? Which it's not, you don't smoke it. It heats it up.
Well, yeah, but I don't know what else you'd say. You breathe it in.
Yeah.
So it's weird. Also, it's not weed. It's CBD or CBN or one of those. And it made my back feel better. And so, but I only did it a couple times. And then I don't know. I just don't like breathing things in.
Yeah. I don't like.
I
don't think you should. Be putting things into your lungs. You should be putting it directly into your tummy.
That's the organ that we want to potentially offend.
Right.
No, but between the chiropractor and my stretches, and I'm getting back into exercise a little bit, and it's been feeling so much better. But it's amazing. Still
oh it's guys touch and go. Katie got me the best gift. I've been looking at this thing for
we had Christmas
2 years, 3 years. When did the pandemic start? 5 years ago?
Forever ago? A lifetime? 3 years.
And I was afraid to get it when we were in Santa Monica because I was like, if I attach this thing, it's going to break the house.
Yeah, because our house was like made out of paper mache. Remember our apartment? Yeah.
Yeah, our apartment.
Not even. If I just took a screwdriver to any wall and something like this, it just goes straight through it. I'm 100% sure.
What's cool is at that other place, though, if you poked a hole in the wall, you could look in and you'd see a bunch of termites looking back at you.
Taking your house away.
hey, 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 what are you doing? You're breaking our walls, the termite said. Mm-hmm. Mm. Anyways, so I didn't want to get it during the pandemic because I thought it would probably trash the place. Mm-hmm. However, I opened my presents on Christmas day and there it was, a red Ryber BB gun.
I know, you're going to shoot your eye out with that kid.
Now, TRX, the band system. Mm-hmm. So I'll report back. I'm sure you guys will notice I'll be like this giant hulking dude.
Oh my God. Hey,
what's up? You know, but
that's what I expect. Yeah. No, we had a tree house in our backyard that, I mean, we don't have kids. I don't even want kids playing in it. It was also pretty rotted, kind of dangerous. So we had it removed, but there was a beam that was kind of like the foundation of it that was still fine. And so we left that up so Sean can like strap his stuff to it.
Yep. And so I'm excited. I'm going to have a little backyard gym.
Yep. Once the studio build is done.
And now that, you know, we're getting closer to everything being done. Mm-hmm. Please, please, please.
We had a disaster last night. Do you want to tell them?
No.
We had a leak.
Yeah.
And it came because they were testing the shower floor to make sure it was sealed. It wasn't. So that was a disaster. Mm-hmm. But they're fixing it.
Oh, you know what? So it's the shower pan. Mm-hmm. They fill it with water.
You have to test it for like an hour or something.
And so the inspector can say, yes, it holds water or no, it doesn't hold water.
And well, ours does not.
Last night, it wasn't holding water. And I went out there and I didn't know what to do. I tried to soak it up with towels. There was too much water, you know? And so I had a siphon in the garage and I took that and I siphoned off water, but it was water with like bits of insulation and it was just, it's gross, you know? And I got a mouthful of water and I was like, wah,
wah. Oh, you did. Oh, yeah. You did the old school way. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like I was stealing gasoline or something from myself.
Trailer Park Boys.
Anyways.
Yeah.
I was none too happy, but what are you going to do? You got to roll with the punches
and then you just have to, you know, yell at your contractor again.
Yeah. I don't yell, but I had a good talking to today.
He's so, Chris, so brutal. Brutal. Any advice, you guys? Any advice? It's really hard. Mm-hmm. It's been going on forever and we're exhausted. But anyways, continue on.
I don't know what I was talking
about. Oh, the TRX in the backyard. And I said, when the project's done and blah, blah, blah.
Totally. I talked about a couple of weeks ago, things that I want to do on the podcast.
Yes.
And something I want to start talking about is
what?
Gardening.
Cannot wait.
Well, you don't sound enthused, but I am. I love the idea of being able to grow plants.
Well, somehow we ended up getting this magazine with like millions of kinds of vegetables and plants.
I'm so excited. Guys, I didn't know there were that many strawberries. I thought there were like maybe five. Cherry, beefsteak.
You're talking about tomatoes.
Isn't that what I said?
You said strawberries.
Oh, yeah. There's beefsteak strawberries. I mean, they've got these hybrids. Cherry strawberries. I love Monsanto. Oh, we're canceled.
Canceled. Who likes Monsanto? Those are the trash people.
You know, they are a bad company.
And they go after like the little farmer. Fuck those guys. Not the little farmer. Monsanto is who I'm telling to fuck off.
I'm sure I've told you this story before, mm-hmm. but the farmer who is growing, I don't even know.
Yeah, it like flew onto his property.
Yeah, the wind carried some seeds from a Monsanto farm. It landed on this guy's property. He didn't know. And they came and they sued him for he was growing their product. But he's like, I didn't plant. Your stuff just blew in the air. Mm-hmm. And so
they won because they're like, they have this huge troop of lawyers. Those fucking pricks.
They're a bad company.
They're a very bad company.
But they also do some other things that are pretty good. Like if you had to play devil's advocate, and that is they, I guess, produce food that is more stable or less
pest
resistant or whatever.
But is that good for us to eat?
I don't know. I think they're up to more. If you had to weigh,
mm-hmm. I think it's more nefarious.
Is Monsanto good or bad? I would say bad. They would.
We went to that art, installation, which we probably talked about on here in Charleston against Monsanto,
yeah.
Specifically because of like Roundup and stuff.
Glyphosate or
yeah, because it was like Bayer because they own Bayer also.
I think Bayer owns them. You know Jim or Jim knows you?
Jim knows you. I don't know. Anyway, this artist, it was really interesting. All of her work is about just like airing their dirty laundry.
Right. Oh, speaking of dirty laundry.
Yeah. What?
Oh, not mine. But I saw something on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I love to reshare things on Instagram.
You do. It's your favorite thing to do. Yeah.
I just go through things I see and boom, 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 boom. I'm done within 5 minutes. I make it really
quick. That's not true. It's not 5 minutes, but okay. Mm-hmm.
It is. And so, but I saw this one and it blew me away. I had no idea about this and it made me angry for, you know, a couple of minutes,
okay.
But now it's planted and I have to go do the research because I
when you want to know.
Yeah, when I see something, I don't take it at face value. I mean, I'll reshare it, but then I have to do my research after. So
okay.
Shoot first, so then aim. Yeah.
You perpetuate potentially false narratives.
Yeah, but I'll correct myself sometimes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Continue.
So apparently RJ Reynolds, or one of these big tobacco companies, mm-hmm. bought up a bunch of food companies starting in the early 80s.
Okay.
So as the tobacco industry was...
taking off?
No, not taking off. As they were kind of on the decline. As it became evident. Oh, in the 80s.
Yeah, when people are like, you die. And you're like,
no. No, I used to be the Marlboro man. And you're like, uh-huh. Now you're in an iron lung.
How old are you? Remember when he asked Creed? When I was a kid, I was in an iron lung. How old are you?
Right.
Okay, continue.
Can you imagine that if you love smoking so much, they put you in an iron lung and then you hotbox the iron lung? Because
what is an iron lung?
Just one more puff.
Are you just, is it like a thing you get into?
You've never seen an iron lung?
Sean, I'm 39. I'm not like 89.
It was a medical device mm-hmm. that was really, really instrumental in preserving people's lives that had some pretty
type of negative pressure ventilator.
Yeah.
A mechanical respirator, which encloses most of a person's body.
Right up to your neck. So your head sticks out of this cigar tube.
People you're like had laying those, down.
They had them in their house.
An immersion iron lung.
Yeah. So it's like it changes the atmosphere, right? The pressure on your chest.
Need for this treatment may result from diseases including polio and botulism.
That's why you don't use Botox, because that's botulism.
Need for this treatment may result from, you might need it because of polio or botulism.
So that device was, there's one, I believe, just one left in operation in the United States. That someone's actually using out in the field.
Well, they said in 2020, COVID-19 pandemic revived some interest in this device as a cheap and readily producible substitute for positive pressure ventilators, or PPVs, which were feared to be outnumbered by patients potentially needing it's just a ventilator. It's a different type of ventilator.
But so imagine when you go underwater, there's pressure, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there...
Because it's not a modern breathing therapy anymore.
No. If you imagine, so the idea of
what mostly for polio
atmospheres are, as you descend in water, there's more and more pressure, right? Uh-huh. And I don't know what the math is, but at a certain depth, it changes atmosphere. You're at the next atmosphere.
Well, that's why you have to like do your ears every so often when we were scuba diving.
Yes. And when you come back up, you have to stop at
repressurize
certain, and let the nitrogen vent out of your blood. You can't do it all at once.
You can't go rush. You might pass out. Boom.
Or die from a nitrogen bubble. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the same thing as you're going up off the surface of the earth.
Yes.
The atmosphere becomes thinner, right? Until eventually you pass the Kármán line, you're in outer space or something like this. Yeah, I don't know.
Something.
Uh-huh. Which Jeff Bezos never went to space. They went close to space, but
I know.
Debatable. I mean, it's pretty good. I'd like to go up there, but anyways.
I love that William Shatner went with him.
So cool. I liked how William Shatner discussed that. He said it was life changing. Okay. But as you go up, as the atmosphere becomes thinner, there's less pressure on you. And that's what the iron lung does.
So it makes it easier for your body to breathe. It takes the pressure off.
Exactly.
If you're feeling too much pressure, get in an iron lung.
Just, it was Michael Jackson, the monkey, and, Bobo, was that his pet?
I do not know what you're referencing at all with this right now.
You don't know? Michael Jackson used to sleep in a hyperbaric chamber?
No, I didn't know this.
Yeah. I think it was a popular therapy in the 80s and 90s to like, it wasn't an iron lung, but it looked similar. Like you get inside of it. It's a tube that you sleep in at night.
Sounds really relaxing.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind a quiet. It's almost like a coffin, but with a window. So.
What are you, Dracula? Well, we finished season one of What We Do in the Shadows, but we haven't purchased or signed up for Hulu to get 2 and 3.
Right.
I think it's 2 and 3, maybe 4. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's
can I move on?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I mean, but you've never seen Michael Jackson?
Why would I have seen that? No, I had zero interest in Michael Jackson my entire life. I know that's weird. It's like a very, not even unpopular opinion, because it's not an opinion. I just didn't care. And then all of a sudden he was like, a pedophile or whatever. And I was like, ooh.
Well, he got strange. Don't get strange. He got strange at one point. But before he got strange, he was an oddity. But he wasn't, they didn't label him as a nefarious character until later on. Well, he's
just
a
weird rich guy, right? Like, it's almost like Prince. Prince was real weird too. But I just don't care about either of those people. I think their music just never, it's not that I didn't know the words to it. I just would never have like downloaded it, would never have bought it, I would never have listened to it on my own. But if it came on the radio, I'd be like, oh, Thriller. Like, I would sing along and be like, dah, dah, you know, because you know it.
That's a dance move?
Mm-hmm. But I...
Or is that Lady Gaga?
No, that's his dance move.
Right. So she took it, right?
She took it, Or borrowed it, or I don't even know. Who cares?
Homage.
Again, who cares? That's the thing, I think. I've never been that obsessed with any celebrity, really, in my life. I know that might be weird. Anybody else out there does not really care?
I'm obsessed with all of them. I love celebrities.
Oh, I just am not. But a lot of people are interested and pay attention, and I would never pay attention. I might know a little bit of gossip here and there because I've seen it while I was waiting in line at the grocery store.
Yeah.
But I'm going to move on. Okay.
Sure.
So we had friends come over, which are, they're married now. Congratulations, Dan and Scott. Anyway, they came by on Christmas because they were coming through to see Scott's grandma, and then they were headed out to Marfa to get married. And they came by and they brought their beautiful girl dog, Indy. And Indy's a rescue, and she's like a German Shepherd is what she looks like. I don't know, because she's a rescue. We don't know, but I
think it's a Belgian Malinois meets a German Shepherd.
Okay. I don't know what any of that means, but yeah.
I think the Belgian Malinois, I don't know if I'm probably screwing that word up. It's a German Shepherd-esque type dog, canine.
Did they say this to you, or you're just making it up?
No, I asked him when we saw them. What it was. I was like, that's not a German Shepherd.
Belgian Malinois. Oh, they kind of look like a German Shepherd. It's a Belgian Shepherd, they call it.
Yeah.
A Belgian Shepherd.
So she
could be that.
A German Shepherd, but from the next province over.
But she looks more like a German Shepherd than she does that. Hmm. Like, that has the same coat and coloring, but her face doesn't look like a Malinois.
Gotcha.
Anyway, they brought Indy by because Indy had been at the party when we went out to Houston for Friendsgiving. Indy was there and she was totally chill and hung out the whole night and was mellow. And when they asked if, you know, are you guys doing anything? I was like, no, come on by. And then they're like, oh yeah, do you mind if we bring Indy? And I was like, our dog might freak the fuck out. I don't know. Hopefully she's fine. You guys, they show up at the door and we're like, hi. And Roxy freaks the fuck out. Growls, barks, is like, hey. Like, we had to put her in our crate immediately. I know, I
but it up. Wasn't so it's weird because the behavior isn't aggressive where she's going to, I know it sounds like it's aggressive,
that was growling. The only time I've ever seen her be aggressive,
but it wasn't aggressive, like she wasn't trying to bite the other dog.
No, she's just freaking out in herself.
Yeah,
so she's having her own meltdown.
She was like, another dog herself. In my house, this is awesome. Like, that's what it seemed like to me. Like, and
it sounded aggressive. I've never heard her make that noise before. Oh.
Well, you know, I was in the kitchen when
that's, I was like, Sean, go put her in her crate, like, yeah, immediately. And then we put her in her crate for like 3 minutes and then she was fine. But she just wanted to run circles and play the whole time and booping and booping. But luckily, Indy had her own puppies back in the day. And so she like tried to correct her where they like nip at them a little and like growl or bark and she would stop. And then when she'd boop her again, she'd try to correct her. But it got to be a lot. We had to put her in her crate.
Yeah.
Our dog's a psychopath. So we made the joke that Roxy will pester you until you fall asleep.
Right.
But it's more than until she falls asleep.
I think given 2 days of that, she would stop. I think she'd run around like crazy for 2 days with that dog and then she'd get on a schedule.
Maybe they'll come out and bring Indy for longer. Although Indy kept peeing in the house, I think, because she'd never had carpet, they said.
She's like, oh, this is so nice.
And she would just like work her little paws and she'd be like, they're like, we just took you out.
Yeah. We were fine with it. You know, also you have that spot cleaner machine.
Yeah, my mom got me the green machine thing.
Yeah. So
we just used that. But it was just...
So I've been peeing on the floor too and using that thing at night. I'm like, I'm not going.
But now we've decided we really need to get our carpets clean because the small spot treatments I've been doing, the water's like pretty dirty for how little carpet I am actually cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Well, put that one on the list. Another thing to do, unless we were to invest in a steam, but I just want someone to come in with professional machines. The van shows up, the giant long hose.
Yeah.
They move all your furniture.
Hopefully they just suck the carpet right off the floor.
Yeah.
And put down new flooring because I fucking hate carpet.
Oh, you know how that I love you?
Why? How?
I bought you something And some of you out there in OTDM land may say, Sean, you're a moron. Not for this, but for other reasons.
That's what I was going to get into. Yeah, it's my next thing.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
Oh. For Christmas, mm-hmm.
You guys know how much I hate a dirty floor.
And you're pragmatic.
Yeah.
And some may say this is not romantic, but I bought you a vacuum cleaner.
And I love it so much.
Because you've talked about it for the last 5 years.
Well, it was expensive.
Yeah.
So, because it was a Dyson, but it was on super sale.
Yeah.
Sean's like, should we get it for the house? Because every Christmas, honestly, probably for the past like 6 years, we'd get something for the house for Christmas. And that's like our big gift, which I know sounds so boring, but when you need big things and it's like a big expense, you won't buy it unless you're like, this is our gift to ourselves.
Right.
I'm trying to think of what we've gotten in the past, but
we gifted ourselves the gift of suction.
A vacuum, a Dyson.
Vacuum,
we call it.
It is amazing.
This thing is amazing. But
not sponsored, by the way. However,
I wish.
Mm-hmm. Well, I looked online. I was like comparing models and what's out there in mm-hmm. the
and I've seen a ton of people do the like side by side with the Shark, which is what we've had from Costco for forever. And I it's a decent, it does still does a good job, even though we've had it for how long. But they did the Shark and the Dyson, and they did the Shark over it twice, really slow, and the Dyson fast once, and it was still better. And I was like, fuck.
They pulled up so much stuff out of our floor. I was embarrassed. Gross. I was like, ew.
They even pulled out a huge feather.
Where did that feather come from?
I don't know where this feather. I wish I'd taken a photo of it.
5 inches long, 6 inches long?
Yeah, probably 5 or 6 inches long, a white feather. You guys,
Where did that come from?
First of all, Sean thinks he's kind of allergic to down stuff. So we don't even have a down comforter in our bed anymore. It's maybe in our other bedroom, but there's no, you know, down feathers are not that long. Also, we would have seen it. Where did it come from?
I thought maybe Ben Franklin snuck in the middle of the night.
It looked like a quill. And it was in the Dyson. Trust me, I put this thing together. It wasn't in there before. Maybe it was in the hose.
What would a feather be doing in the hose?
What would it be doing in a vacuum factory?
I don't know, but we've been living here for a year and a half. I would have noticed a giant feather hanging out.
Did it suck it out of the carpet? It sucked so hard. It was like jammed in there from something.
But where would it have been hiding in the carpet?
I have no idea.
Such you a compelling guys, podcast.
That elusive feathers. Where did this feather come
from? You did what with the feather? You know,
nothing. We threw it in the trash because it was coated.
My aunt told me a joke when I was 13.
You've told that joke before, but yeah.
On the podcast?
I believe so.
Oh, the difference between kinky and horny.
Uh-huh.
Kinky is using the feather. Mm-hmm. Horny is using the whole chicken.
Yes.
Terrible joke, I know.
Thanks, Margie.
Yeah.
Put her on blast.
I still remember her telling me that. I was standing in the kitchen at her place. After dinner, I would always offer to wash people's dishes. Whenever I went to someone's house, I don't know why, I just...
Because you're a helpful kid.
Yeah, but I remember saying there I was washing dishes, and I finished washing dishes, and in their freezer, they always had these mini carrot cakes.
Ooh.
They were frozen.
Yummy.
You're supposed to warm them up, but I liked them cold, see, mm-hmm. because the icing then is like, oh, it was just so good.
It's carrot like cake cream icing. Cheese frosting ice cream.
And I remember having that, and I was like, oh, this is so good. And she's like, hey, you want to know a joke?
Oh.
And I was like, sure. You know, 13 years old. And she told me that. And I was like, what did the man do to the chicken?
What? Wait, I was not expecting that kind of joke. Oh,
she
my God.
She's pretty funny. Or she is pretty funny.
Yeah.
My family, they tell jokes.
I do.
My uncle Johnny, I probably get some of this from that area of the family, mm-hmm. but he would tell a joke and he never gets to the end of it because he's laughing the whole time.
Oh,
he's
yeah, just, yeah.
And
yeah.
That's the funny part. It could be the worst joke in the world, but he's laughing as he's telling it.
So you enjoy it because he's enjoying it. I think there are two types of good joke tellers. There are those where they're enjoying it so much you have to giggle too. And then there's the people who deadpan deliver it and you're like, and it catches you. You're like, oh my God, so good.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't, my family's not really joke tellers as much as they're like witty, like, yeah.
Mm.
Like my cousins and Nick, like they can go all day just making like quips and comments and jokes and da da da.
Yeah, I would not want to get into a battle with them.
No, I'd lose immediately.
Yeah, they're very fast, sharp.
I used to be more like that, but I'm out of practice.
I think because you moved to California, you kind of got laid back.
I chilled out, you know. Yeah.
Hey, man.
Not so depressed from the ever present dreariness of Washington State.
I take CBD, man. I don't care.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
letters?
Shall we? I guess. I had a bunch of notes, but I'll save them for next week, I guess. Oh, gardening. So.
Back around.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring it back around. I am starting to plot out the garden plots around the house. And I've been looking, you know, where's the sun live or not live. Does the sun live in your backyard there, you know? So, what? But I'm starting to plot out, and I think I'm going to get that mulberry tree. Not a mulberry bush, if you let it grow, but it's like raspberries.
No, the raspberries means a blackberry.
Yeah.
I think that's technically what they are. My grandma loves is it mulberries or elderberries? I have to look that up because I forget. But my grandma would make...
I don't think I've ever had them, but I trust anything that is that shape, like a raspberry, a blackberry, a loganberry.
Did you know there's a brand called Mulberry?
Yeah, it's a clothing brand, isn't it?
I guess so. I was like, wait, that's not what I want at all.
Tan with red and black. Mulberry.
Mulberry tree. That's what I have to look up.
Yeah. Fast-growing
trees.
Yeah,
that's what my grandma liked, mulberries.
Mm-hmm. Fastgrowingtrees.com, I believe. I jump on there.
Fastgrowingtrees.com.
It's such an amazing website and all these different... So I'd like to get that and maybe an olive tree or two.
There's 64 identified species within mulberries, or Morus is a genus of flowering plants in the family Moraceae. I don't know.
Very interesting.
Yep. But it doesn't say, I wanted to know what it came from, like, because I thought it was a combo, like, or maybe I'm thinking of something else that's a raspberry and blackberry together. But either way,
isn't that a loganberry?
Maybe. That's probably what it is. I think that's a raspberry.
I think that your mom has that growing in her
yard. She does. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. I love berries. So.
Sean does. Anything else?
No, I'm going to save all my notes for next week, but basically that's my gardening. I'm going to be talking about it because we're going to get into planting season.
Yes.
Not right away, but as I develop the garden.
We have a lot of letters. Holy shmomolies. We are behind you guys. I am so sorry. So sorry. Okay. Roxy's just waking up. Okay, we have audio from Tom. We haven't heard from him in a while.
Hey, Katie and Sean, it's Tom, your Virginia correspondent here. Got home from work and watched a video that Katie did on family dynamics and how sometimes we feel childlike when we're around family.
Oh, yeah.
And that video dredged up a feeling of mine. When I was a boy, I went over to this place called Westwood to get tutored when I was in the second grade.
Whenever I hear that, I always think of that Far Side comic where the dog is in the car and he's like, ha ha, losers, I'm going to get tutored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And he's like, and the dog's like, snicker, snicker, off to the side.
He wasn't going to get tutored.
He misheard what was happening.
Okay. And many years later, I started going over there see a chiropractor, and also there's a heart clinic over there that I used to go to. And I'll be damned if I didn't feel like it was 1991 all over again. But you know, that wasn't such a bad thing. The lady that tutored me was a good lady, and have good memories of that place. But daggone, I guess I'm one of the lucky ones. Some of us don't have many good memories of growing up, but for me, it's a mixed bag. I mean, hell, life's always a mixed bag. But Katie, you said something joking about putting me on hold on your last podcast. And, you know, I don't give a damn. You can play as many of the recordings as I send or as little of them as you want to. I don't know about legality, but I had a buddy that was in radio when we were in high school. He was a... intern DJ at the local radio station.
We've had quite a few people in our life who are DJs. Carly, a member of our community, wasn't she a DJ for a while on the radio?
I don't know.
Then my girlfriend Athena.
She was a DJ?
Well, she worked at the radio, Athena did. Oh. But I thought Carly was a DJ.
I don't know. I always thought that was such a cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing the movie Pump Up the Volume when I was a kid.
Oh, with Christian Slater?
Yeah, pirate radio. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, imagine if you could broadcast yourself. And he was just broadcasting, you know, in his neighborhood.
Yeah.
And the idea
like
of
Wayne's
pirate.
World.
Yeah.
But and, not radio, that was TV.
And then the internet happened and you're like, you can broadcast yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
and now podcast. Amazing. Here we are broadcasting ourselves.
Full circle.
And thanks for understanding, Tom. But we just make our way slowly through all the letters and all the audios. But my friend Athena had the funniest story. She worked at 103.5 in LA, which if you don't know, is kind of like a soft rock. It was not the music she was interested in at the time.
Laid back hits of the 70s with Cat and Tennille.
Kind of.
Pretty Captain much. Beefheart.
Beefheart. But at night, I want to say starting at like 9 p.m. or 8 p.m. every night would be like dedications. And because she worked there, she was like an intern, or it was one of her first jobs, because Athena was born and raised in L.A. Anyway, she would joke, and she was telling us one time how they never had enough like people calling in
right.
to make dedications. And so they just make them up. They'd be like, to Renee from Ronaldo, I love you. And then it'd be like Casey and JoJo. It's just funny. And she was like, I would just randomly make them up because we needed like, you know.
This next one goes out to two lovebirds in El Segundo.
They'd get like two and they needed like 30.
Right.
So Athena was just making them up, and that just will all forever crack me up. So when we're back in LA, we're going back out to LA in January for work. And I'm like, if we listen to 103.5, I'll be like, and this one's out to Athena. Okay. Sorry, Dom.
He said, whenever you call in, they own your voice. And as far as I'm concerned, you and Sean own my voice whenever I send you something. So you can make me look like a total ass if you wanted to, but I might tell you off. But I know y'all are good people and you wouldn't do me that way. But
never.
I've been telling a funny story here at work here. I had a stalker when I was in college, and I think y'all would get a kick out of this story.
I'm already intrigued.
So during the summer session, we were a pretty tight-knit bunch. I mean, there weren't many kids on campus. We all lived in the same dorm. Well, toward the end of the one summer session, I'm sitting in the cafeteria munching on some food. And here comes this old girl that lived in the dorm. I didn't know her, but me being the friendly guy I am, I spoke to her for a while. And
I'd assume around his age.
Oh, he's just like a is that colloquialism?
I think he's just, I think like, it's like a colloquialism.
This old guy, you know.
Like like this old guy, but this person. Not meaning young or old.
Gotcha.
He's just saying like another girl, I would assume, Tom. You correct me if I'm wrong.
But like saying y'all or something.
Yeah, I think she's like this old girl.
Okay.
You know.
Sorry, I'm from the north and I
but in order to live in the dorm, I'd assume it'd have to be around his age. A couple years different, maybe, if they're older or younger. But
imagine it was like some 7-year-old lady. She's like, I'm back to college, you know?
Well, I was in a sorority, but we didn't have houses. If anybody doesn't know, funny story, in Malibu, where I went to school, I forget the number, but it's like if more than 5 people live in a home that are not direct relatives, it's deemed a brothel.
What?
It's something like that. We can look up the law. And so therefore you can't have homes like that. It's actually illegal.
Oh.
And so you couldn't technically have sorority or fraternity houses. And even if, because some people did do this where there'd be like a bunch of people living in a home. Usually it was like 4 though, because you're like under the amount. But the people who live there that were above the amount just wouldn't be on the lease, essentially. Yeah.
There's some weird old laws that are kind of just never cleared off the books.
Yeah, because there's no need for it. And probably the people in Malibu are like, we don't really want those kind of homes. We paid millions of dollars for this beachside community. Why do we want like fraternity houses? Mm. But anyway, what I was going to say is in sorority homes, in the houses that they actually have on like, I don't know, UW, let's say in frat row or what do they call it? I forget what it is. But anyway, Greek row. They have, I forget what they're called, like house moms, essentially, and they're older people.
RNs? No.
No, they're not registered nurses.
No, resident.
Oh, RA.
RA.
Yeah. I was like, RN?
You have a nurse on site. That's amazing.
Oh, 24/7.
Oh, so there's like a Mrs. Garrett.
I don't know what that means, but there's like a house mom.
Facts of life. It was so they were living in, I guess, at a private school, and there was the lady.
Who there's that too. That's what essentially it is, the same. Okay. And so I don't know if frat houses have this too, but I know that the sorority houses always have that person. And it's essentially to keep everything going and to organize and make sure. And then they also usually have a chef and housekeeping and things because they're bougie. But anyway, funny fact.
Okay.
So we would have an old lady, an old girl, but I think Tom is using it, like you said, colloquially.
I wonder if she's the stalker.
We're about to find out.
I was stalked by Mrs. Garrett from Facts of Life.
Tell us more, Tom.
I wasn't attracted to her at all, but I mean, I'm just a all-around good guy. I mean, I'm nice to everybody that comes in contact with me. And
me too.
I can be a prick if people make me that way, although I think it's easier to be a good guy than it is to be a prick.
I agree. And what is the saying? You've said this quite a few times. If you keep poking someone, treating them like something, then they'll start acting like that.
Right.
What's the saying? But anyway, that's the truth.
I I subscribe to Sam Malone's theory on his was for ladies, you know. Uh-huh. He says everyone starts with 5 stars, mm-hmm. and then, you know, I take a star away if someone's a jerk.
Yeah,
you know, and that's kind of the way everyone mm-hmm. starts off on the same. You know,
but if you're a dickwad,
there's equity. Everyone starts at the same point. but if you're a jerk, you lose a star, mm-hmm. and eventually, you know, you have no stars.
Agreed. And then we're like, get out of here, dickwad.
You got to earn the stars back.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay.
Anyway, we chatted a while and she noticed that I wasn't originally from Southwestern Virginia, which my mom and dad grew up in Pennsylvania, and I've kind of carried that little accent with me my whole life.
I thought you were Dutch.
We walked back to the dorms together. She said something to me about how she lived in the handicap room. I said, well, honey, you look like you get around all right. She said, oh, well, I take medicine. I said, oh, honey, you don't mention that to people you barely know. That's your business, and you should probably keep that under the wraps. And she said, well, you're right, I should. So the fall semester, there's probably 300 kids in the cafeteria, and I'm sitting there, and I spot her, and I was by myself, and here she comes up and wants to sit and talk to me again.
You're a nice guy.
I'm like, yeah, I want to get out of here. You know, I don't really vibe with this person. I said, hey, honey, thanks for coming to visit with me, but I got to run. I got to give my girl a call, which there was no girlfriend, but she didn't need to know that.
Dating girl from Niagara Falls.
Oh, my God.
But wait, Tom asked her, mm-hmm. and then she said she was on medication.
No, he just said she stayed in the handicapped room. She right. told him, and he said, you don't look handicapped, you know, you seem perfectly fine. You get around fine. And she said, I'm taking medicine. He's like, oh. And then he's like, don't go telling everybody that, you know. Mm. I mean, it's up to her. It's her choice. It's her business. It's her information.
That's okay. Yeah, gotcha.
But funny things that...
Oh, did you hear my tummy grumble?
Yeah, are you hungry?
I guess so.
Sean's getting hungry. Funny thing, there's so many weird things. I'm sure everybody out there has these stories. I would love these stories, actually. Things you did to get someone off the scent, to be like, I'm not interested without being rude. For instance, when anybody would ask me for my phone number, I would always give him my friend Jamie's phone number.
I'm and sure not Jamie just, was thrilled about
but
that.
But not her cell phone, her parents' home house line. Because her dad was, Chris was like, bah, real gruff. So I was like, oh, I'll call him. And he'll never call back. And that was before cell phones, you guys. So it's not like they would call me and make sure it came through on my phone or whatever. I would just give them her phone number. I could still tell you what that phone number is. I'm sure they don't have it, but I don't want to say in case they do. I could tell it just off the top of my head. So you used to always give that phone number. Because then if they ask you to repeat it, you're not just randomly making it up. You can actually repeat it. So there's that. And then you'd always have that like token friend around that you would just pretend is your boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever. So that they just, you know. You're like, okay, well, I guess we should go, honey. And then they're like, oh, mm-hmm, yep, we gotta go.
We were sitting at TGI Fridays, of all places, one time. Sean Nichols and I were having a...
not like that place, but okay, continue.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say you don't like Sean Nichols. I was like, come on, he's a nice guy.
I love Sean Nichols, you know that.
I'm not a fan of TGI Fridays either, but they have a bar and we were sitting there having a drink, I don't know, Friday night or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're in our 20s, so it's cheaper, right?
Yeah.
Anyways. And we're sitting in there and the girl at the bar is hitting on Sean Nichols. Like she's hitting on him, you know, pretty hard.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, okay, that's pretty interesting. But she's not really his type. Mm-hmm. I know this already.
She doesn't have enough tattoos. She doesn't have enough issues.
He likes a rock and roll lady.
He likes a rock and roll girl.
And
he would have liked my Aunt Roxanne back in the day.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this girl was like just kind of too put together in a way like... she probably shops at J. Crew, like button-up
golf shirts. Oh, funny. And, you know, too preppy. Yeah, not at all his type. Funny.
Nice looking gal, but it wasn't Sean's type. I knew right away.
It wasn't going to work.
But he's entertaining this, probably enjoying the
attention.
The flattery. And she like, I think she even touched his hand or something like that. And that's when you know. Mm-hmm. So she asked for his number. I was like, this is,
he gave her yours.
He gave her my phone number.
Not to take the wind up, but and I was like,
give me a call anytime.
I know Sean enough to know he gave her yours.
Yeah. And I was like, I was sitting there. I didn't want to be rude and make her feel bad. Like this guy's having her on, you know, but
now you have to look out for this random call.
No, we dated for 6 months. You know, I felt bad for her. No, I'm kidding.
That would be more your type, I guess. Preppy, maybe. I don't know.
You dress my type.
I'm all over the place. Yeah. What is my type, Sean?
Classic Americana meets funky man repeller Lisa Sega. I don't know, man. You're very hard to, nobody puts Katie in the corner, you know, like you have your, you are a stylish person though.
Oh, thanks, Eddie.
Okay, let's get back to Tom's thing.
I was just like, what type am I? I don't even know. I never really was preppy.
That's just my type.
No.
That's my type.
Oh. Okay, sorry, back to Tom. We've been all over the place.
So I had befriended this good old boy and he'd come over to the United States and barely knew English. And I took notes for him in history class and that was really helpful to him in learning American history and learning the English language as well. But we were sitting eating breakfast one morning. Well, I spot that girl again. I figured, she won't bother me. I'm having a visit with this fella here. This girl has this deep, deep voice. She says, "You mind if I join you?" I said, "Hey, don't bother me. Go ahead and sit down."
I love his impersonation.
"How is your girlfriend doing?" I said, "She's just fine. Thank you for asking." "Well, when are you going to find me a boyfriend?" I said, "Well, honey, do you like to go out with Jen?" "Oh, no, I'm not interested in him. That would be a long-distance relationship." "Well, anyway, this girl mentioned something to me that sent chills down my spine. She says, you know, I saw this girl on the way over here that resembled a sweet mate of mine from last year. Perhaps I'll see her later on when I'm headed to the library to study."
What?
I said, "Oh, boy." So she would always seek me out in the cafeteria and always snuck up behind me.
Kind of creepy.
This one day I'm sitting there, had brunch in the morning, had some eggs, French toast, or pancakes.
Good choice.
I hear this voice, "Syrup and eggs." I said, "Well, honey, I've already eaten my French toast. That's just the remaining syrup, and I've about downed my eggs, so I'm about to hit the road, so have a good
day." Gotta go.
She found out I was a lifter. She says to me one day, "Well, I'm only 120 pounds. You could probably pick me up pretty easily." I said, "Honey, that ain't gonna happen." Well, then the next time I saw her, she called me Mr. Exercise. I'm pretty weirded out at this point. Well,
how many people are at the school? Do you know, like, for someone to always find you? You're like, are you just waiting for me to show up here? Because I don't know if this is true, Tom, but when I was in college, you don't like eat at regular times because it's all around your class schedule. So like, oh, and no one's, or I'm sorry if somebody did this, but I'm never, you guys know, I'm not a morning person. Before 8 a.m. classes or whatever, I'm not fucking making it down for breakfast. I might make it down for breakfast. I have a noon class. Other than that, I'm just going to have some yogurt on my way up to my first class and be fine. So the fact that she would catch him every time is very creepy to me.
Somebody has a crush on you. They find you, you know.
That's kind of weird, though.
Yes, but I mean, that's...
And once she heard he had a girlfriend, even though I know she's made up, wouldn't you just be like, next?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be me. I'd be like, oh, next. I've told you guys the funny story of the guy, Jeff, who I had a crush on in my choir way back my freshman year. And then we had this, our sorority would have, they're called date dashes.
Okay.
And you have like 2 hours to find a date and then you have an event you're going to. I was like, perfect. I'm going to ask Jeff from choir. Because he's cute and I think he could be fun. I don't know anything about him, but it turns out he was gay. He was like, "I'm flattered, but I like guys." And I was like, "Ugh." He's like, "Also go on your date."
Funny, I like guys too.
I know. We have something in common. We can gossip
about them.
We actually became really good friends and he went with me on the date dash. And he had a very cute boyfriend, but it was just funny. It was like, oh, oops.
Yeah.
Crush squashed. Like this girl, her crush should have been squashed.
Right, right.
Here, a few weeks later, I'm sitting at this place. It's called the Terrace Shops. It's a bunch of fast food places. And a buddy of mine from back home and I are sitting. And I got a big old deli sandwich that's piled high with meat.
Yum.
I'm chowing down and I spot her. I'm like, oh, I hope she just keeps going.
Yep.
Wrong.
Yeah.
She come up behind me and she says, "Well, I haven't seen you in a while." I said, "Yeah, it's been a while." I keep stuffing the sandwich down.
Yeah, you got to make yourself look gross.
She expects me to speak to her. And I wasn't interested in her at all. I was interested in downing this sandwich.
Talking to your friend.
I said, honey, it's time for you to go. See you later. That old boy that was with me, he thought that was funny as hell. He said, oh my God, he told her, see you later.
What else are you supposed to do?
Well, you know, after being stalked for a while,
you can only be so nice. Like,
look, joining the Navy and they can't see you anymore.
That reminds me of Friends when Chandler's like, sorry, I'm being transferred to Yemen. Because he's having a hard time breaking up.
Janice.
And she's like, oh, Chandler. And she...
I'll see you off at the airport.
And so she buys a TCM and she... It's back in the day when you go all the way up to the gate. So he actually gets on a plane and goes to Yemen.
Just to break up with somebody.
Versus just have a tough conversation. Okay, sorry, Tom.
Anyway, that's your Virginia correspondence way of dealing with a stalker. I hope you all are well. I'm always happy to see you. And you know what? This is a Thanksgiving week, so by the time this has come out, I hope everybody's had a great Thanksgiving. God bless you all.
Thanks, Tom. That's
the
so
SIA method.
Yeah, but I think that honestly is more direct and more appropriate than the go to Yemen situation.
Yeah, honesty is the best policy at this point.
Yes.
You gotta scram.
You're like, I'm not
without interested. Hurting someone's feelings, but obviously she was a little pushy, or not pushy, but maybe just.
Persistent.
Not picking up on the vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think in all truth, and I know this people might be like, that's easy for you to say, but honest to God, if someone's interested in you, you will know. Period. That's it. I'm interested in you. But you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to chase someone.
Right.
Like, there's a little bit of a chase at the beginning when you feel like, oh, should I call? Maybe they'll call. But that's not the like, they seem to not be interested in talking to me, and I seem to be the one that always seeks them out.
Sean Nichols has an interesting method.
What's his method?
He's not mean, but
he's had so many successful relationships.
He gives the cold shoulder to women, and then they're like, what's wrong with me, sort of deal? And then they chase him. Like he'll ignore them. He'll say something to the effect of, I'm not really, you know, that interested in this conversation. I'm going to, you know, but
that's because he looks for a certain type of person that doesn't go to therapy and figure out their shit.
Not all the time. I know he dates less that style now that he's older.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for him.
But his method is rather interesting. It's the rebuke. Rebuking somebody. He's like.
It's also just his personality.
Yeah.
He's not very warm up front.
Nope. And then I think that brings people in because they're like, well, why doesn't this person like? Because there's certain people who like need to be liked by everyone.
But that's the problem. Then you end up in a relationship with someone like that when they should actually probably be in therapy.
Well, you got me there.
Because people like that, like I would even put myself in that camp for probably a short period, probably like 16 to maybe 20, where I was like, who am I? What's happening? Blah. Right. Where I'd want everybody to like me, and maybe even longer, maybe like 22. And then I realized you can't please everyone. And I also was in therapy extensively during that time. But that leads to like no boundaries because you'll do anything to get attention. And then it means that even if it's like not healthy or good, you're going to try to keep it alive.
Fair enough.
So it's kind of not a very healthy thing.
Right.
But you shouldn't always be available either.
Yeah.
There's a healthy amount of like, do your own thing, be your own person. And then you're in a relationship, you should still be able to be your own person.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you start dressing like the person you really like, that's.
It'd be funny if we're wearing the same thing. But wouldn't that be funny? We do. It's funny. We do end up, because we spend so much time together, and also one of us will see the other one dressed and not realize it. I think subconsciously we'll end up wearing around the same colors.
Right.
But I saw you put on red and I was like, oh, I was going to wear black. Perfect. But you know, when you're on camera, excellent. It's silly for us to be wearing the same color.
I really like this sweater, by the way. Is this a sweater or a
sweatshirt?
Sweatshirt. Yeah, sweatshirt.
My mama got it for you last year, I think.
Yeah, it's just comfortable.
It's sometimes. A nice soft one. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're just listening, I'm wearing a Montreal Canadiens. What's the tag say? Who's this brand?
Fanatics.
I like it.
My mom usually gets you something the like right that weight. Every year, but this year she's like, I don't want to have to get him more of it. I feel like I need to get him something different. And I was like, I do concur. Okay.
Yes.
We have a letter.
Oh, I got a pressure cooker.
Oh yeah, my mom got him a pressure cooker and some canning supplies.
I know.
Supplies. But it's very up your alley.
I know. But I was very excited about it because I was like, oh my God, I can do, I don't even know what I can do with it. That's, I was so excited. I just saw canning jars on the box. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be a canner.
Well, you've had it in your Amazon cart for like months. Yeah. And I don't know if you realize she bought the one that was in our cart and I just removed it without telling you.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Because I was afraid that you might get, be like, I'm going to buy it. Because right. sometimes you'll do that. You're like, I'm going to get this for myself. I'm like, get it.
You can't put the cart before the horse, right? And that's like, if I had bought that first and not grown the garden, then, you know, I would have just been a guy with a canning machine and no product, right?
You can can, you can just go get stuff.
That's what I learned from our last trip. Now that I'm getting into peppers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not just getting into peppers.
Now that I'm getting into peppers. It's just such a funny statement. Now that I'm getting into peppers, I realize that I can can whenever I damn well please.
It was then that Sean realized he's kind of boring, but practical.
Sean just loves...
Hey, baby, you want to come over and do some canning?
And preserve some food?
Yeah.
Sean's in food preservation. My mom got him a food saver last year. He's a food saver in a store.
I love a food
Everything
saver.
Everything vacuum packed, guys.
It's great.
Freezer burn no more.
No.
Not that we ever deal with that because we don't buy things in that big of a bulk amount that we deal with freezer burn.
Right. Also, we have a freezer that doesn't get ice or doesn't build up moisture... Sort of.
No, the freezers nowadays automatically do their own defrost.
Which is bad, right? Because it warms up the food.
So when we do buy our deep freeze for the garage, we want to make sure we get one that does not do that or turn off that feature. And you then once a year, everybody knows this if you grew up with families who canned or not canned, but my dad would hunt. So we'd have to freeze a lot of meat all at once. And we'd also, this sounds really country, but we would... like split a cow with other members of our family, meaning so you go to the butcher and you purchase a certain amount of meat from a cow so that all the cow is used and you split it between families because it's expensive and it's cheaper than buying it at the store. Yeah, also, then you know where the cow went, where the cow came from. It was treated well, blah, blah, blah.
Did this cow jump over the moon?
It did.
Very interesting.
With all his other cow friends.
Strong muscles then.
So we would do that. And then every year you have to take everything out of the freezer and defrost it. And it's like a whole process and you do it. It's like usually on a warm summer day and you put the other, you take stuff out of the freezer and put it into another freezer. It's a whole process.
I don't want to do this at all. We're getting a self defrosting freezer.
Read about it. It's not good.
I mean, they wouldn't make them if.
It takes one day.
Yeah. I don't want to dedicate a whole day to a freezer.
Once a year.
So many other things to do.
Sean's so high maintenance.
I got to maintain the garden. I'm going to be out there weeding.
My mom planted us four plants, and who did the weeding and the gardening?
I don't know. I never saw weeds in the garden.
There you have it, folks. Okay. On to our letter.
Ah, yes.
From our Pennsylvanian correspondent.
I said Pennsylvania a couple of minutes ago.
I know, and we loved Pennsylvania. I would love to go back. Boom. Yeah. Roasted. Just kidding. Okay. This is from Rachel.
Hello.
It says, hello, Katie, Sean, Roxy, and the whole OTDM community. My name is Rachel from Berks County, Pennsylvania. Hi, Rachel. Whoop, whoop. Somebody from PA.
Whoop-de-woo.
Whoop-de-woo. If you don't already have a Pennsylvanian correspondent, I would love to volunteer to fill the position if that's okay. I think that's 100% okay. I'll let David Redacted weigh in on this, but I don't believe we have another Pennsylvanian correspondent.
I don't think so. I think that territory was up for grabs.
And Rachel grabbed it. Take life by the horns. If you do, I'd love to be your PA Dutch specific. Oh, Rachel just got so much cooler. She was already cool and now cooler. Correspondent. She can be our Dutch correspondent. I'm so excited to be finally writing in. It's been so long that I wanted to, but my schedule is crazy. I am a Pennsylvania Dutch folk artist.
This just keeps getting better.
Cooler. Again, leveled up to a level I didn't know existed.
Although I don't know what a folk artist from Pennsylvania that's Dutch does.
Maybe there'll be photos attached or maybe we'll hear something later.
I'm excited.
But either way, let's get into this.
All right.
Okay. I'm a Pennsylvania Dutch folk artist and wanted to share a bit about our art and culture here in Pennsylvania.
Here we go.
I love it. If you don't know what Pennsylvania Dutch is, I'll tell you all about it.
Avitazang.
Avitazang.
No, that's goodbye.
That's...
I wanted to say hello.
Oh, no.
Hello.
Let's, moin, just kidding. Let's let her tell us, okay. Have you ever seen hex signs or eaten apple butter? Yes. Scrapple? Yes. Or funnel cake? Yes. These are all Pennsylvania Dutch staples. It's a neat heritage and an ethnic background with a lot of wonderful roots here in the United States. We've been here for a very long time, over 300 years, which is very, very cool. I agree. We helped settle America and were part of William Penn's great experiment. Many of our ancestors came here for religious freedom that was the driving force. You can learn more about it on the internet, of course, but about Pennsylvania Dutch peoples, but I would love to be the correspondent for all things Pennsylvania and Pennsylvania Dutch.
I dig
You've
it.
You've got it.
I'm going to need some recipes.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Definitely going to need some recipes.
100%. I've become kind of like an expert in all things Pennsylvania Dutch. I'm also mostly Welsh, me too, Swedish, and some Scottish and Irish too. What's interesting about the Pennsylvania Dutch is that they're not always all German. So Avidazang, you were right. But they're not always all that.
So they're from Holland?
For example, while I'm Pennsylvania Dutch, many of my ancestors came from places like the Alsace,
French,
in France, and Sweden and Wales. And we kind of all mixed up when we got here in America, which is very cool.
I think so. Are they united by their religion?
I'd assume so, but we'll keep reading, and we can have her write back in with more information. I'm a mom of three and also full-time artist, designer, illustrator, and homeschool mom, which is really fun, but it takes a lot of time. Yeah, that's gotta, whew, she's a busy lady. But I wanted to reach out for a long time. I love Katie so much. Aw, she's helped me so, so much on my journey with my own mental health and healing from trauma. Of course, it's not a destination. It's a journey for sure. But she's been super, super amazing in my journey since I discovered her actually through another podcast. What podcast, I wonder? Amazing. And I just love you, Katie, so much. Your style of talking about mental health and your candor. Aw, I'm glad. There's never any judgment on your podcast or in your books. It's just the facts, and very supportive and very validating. So thank you, Katie, so much. I did your inner child workshop. Amazing. And it was mind blowing. So then I stumbled upon OTDM and was like, oh my gosh, it's such a great, great concept and podcast. And I've just been loving it so much. I really enjoy Sean as well.
Oh, thanks.
You have a tough time taking compliments?
No, but I just know that what we do is so different. And I feel like I impugn your mental health reputation sometimes. Or not impugn it, but like maybe...
No, I don't think people see it that way.
That's good.
They know I'm not a therapist all my life.
You take the hat off.
Yeah, it's not 24/7.
Right.
I'd be exhausted.
True, true. You're very good at what you do. And one of the main reasons getting into making the videos that you, mm-hmm. that you have... was just to get helpful information out there. Mm-hmm. And so when you hear letters that are positive like that, it's just, it makes it all worthwhile. So thank you for writing that in.
Yeah. It's funny to think back to when we started, because we never thought it'd be like a real thing necessarily. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, if it helps one person, you know, the effort will be worth it.
And I thought we'd get maybe 100 videos in the can and then
it'd peter out.
Yeah. But when people say, you know, it helps, then yeah, you're like, really, oh, cool. That positive feedback helps drive the project, and it's just nice to hear.
Yeah, it's
because you never know, you know, how you're impacting someone.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so I really enjoy Sean as well, so much.
What was that? Can you read that again?
She really enjoys Sean as well.
Oh,
so much, particularly because he has some anxiety and like quirky things that he does, which I can really relate to. Also, both of you have great sense of humor, and I really appreciate your relationship and rhythm of the chitty chats. But also, both of you are in similar generations to myself, so it's all fine. It's like sitting down with a couple of friends, and I really enjoy hearing all the letters and the correspondence. It just makes me really happy. I wanted to tell you that it means a lot to a lot of people, and I know it can be challenging to make time to do podcasting and editing, and I understand all of that back-end work. But I just want to thank you both so much for doing this and for continuing to do it. It's just been such a bright light in my life and in my week throughout the whole pandemic. Aww, I'm so glad.
Super cool. I appreciate that.
It honestly... It's funny, this podcast in particular has been like fun for us. It's different than what, you know, because I don't have to be therapist Katie all the time. It's kind of a nice reprieve from that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just sometimes I find sometimes we were on a plateau and we're doing really well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a little lower, but just the art of having, you know, to put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. You're being vulnerable. You say stupid things because you misspeak in general in conversations.
We don't pretend to know what we're talking about here.
I mean, I pretend to know, but I don't.
That's why it's called opinions that don't matter.
Yeah.
Okay. And now coming out of the pandemic it's just nice to have that reliable, trusting community that you can lean on when you're feeling kind of lonely or if you're feeling like you just want to laugh a bit. So I really appreciate that. Of course, we appreciate you. On to the main reason I'm writing in. I wanted to talk about Roxy because I follow her on Instagram and she reminds me so much of my puppy Rock. Rock, like after Jay-Z, the Rock, because I grew up in the 90s. Amen to that. He just passed away 2 years ago. Oh, I'm so sorry. He was a pit bull mix that I rescued in Philadelphia. And he just looks so much, or she just looks so much like Rock. And I just wanted to thank you both for preserving with sometimes difficult personalities when you rescue. Yeah.
Oh.
It's persevering. I read that wrong. I was like, that doesn't even make any sense. I just want to thank you both for persevering with sometimes difficult personalities when you rescue. Currently, my family and I have rescued two hound dogs from this wonderful organization in New Jersey. But the one hound dog, Danica, has been really pretty easy. And just like when I had children and had an easy child, I thought, oh, we can have another one. Mm-hmm. It's not that big of a deal. She's so easy. Everybody always says that. So my mom's boyfriend, Larry, his daughter, Kristen, had her first boy, Reese, and he was super chill and easy. And he still is. He's like, thank you and please. And super calm and very respectful. Easy baby. Would sleep through the night, I think at like 3 months. Then she had Caden. He's like, just so different and rowdy. He's already had like a concussion. I think he broke his arm. He's just a rowdy. I think he was even colic. He's just been trouble from the beginning because he's just, you know, the world needs all sorts. Okay. So, it's so easy, right? We'll have another dog that's that easy. So in September, we adopted Harley from the same organization within New Jersey, and she's also a hound dog. But oh my gosh, what a difference. Harley's had an uphill battle with medical conditions and also personality conditions.
Loves Bon Jovi.
It's so interesting because you think you're adopting a dog based on their age, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they have ever done certain things that other dogs their age have done. So it's been a real challenge with her. And whenever I get kind of frustrated, I think about Roxy because she's very similar in that she just does not know how to interact with other dogs. She has a humping problem, which is really interesting because she's a female dog. Okay. Short puppy parlance. Roxy has this bed. It's one of those like cozy, I forget what they call it, but it's lower in the middle and up on the sides, and it's supposed to make them feel contained. And I got it for her when she was a puppy and she chewed that one up. I got her another one. So we're on number two. So she wants to like dig at this bed for some reason, and it's like part of her play. But if I try to pick it up while she's digging, because I'm like, I don't want to ripping it, right? I don't have to buy bed number three. She starts humping it.
It's the way she starts humping it though, because so she's trying to, she digs the bed. It's like she's moving the padding around and moves the bed all around the room. And it's really kind of funny.
All over the house with it.
But we don't want her to do it because she inevitably will start chewing on it and pulling stuffing out.
Yeah, and she already has a few holes that she's created from this.
So you go to take it away from her. You grab the bolstered side and you go to pick it up. And she reaches up and then she does her little...
her humper like, bumper.
Yeah, she looks like a Magic Mike or something, you know? She's with her humping muscles. she's humping the air. But like her whole body, she's like pulling... Like she's, but
this
she's
is a new development since when my mom came to visit, because my mom was like, yeah, she humps that thing. And I was like, what? She's like, she hasn't done that in front of you. We were like, no. And since then,
she was secretly humping it. Now the secret's out.
We didn't know, and now we know. Okay. So this Harley has a humping problem also. She reminds me of how you describe Roxy, just so excited to see every single dog ever. You should bring her over. They can be crazy together. There's so much joy in her and she just has a joyful spirit. But yeah, it can be very challenging and difficult. So I want to thank you all for your commitment to Roxy. And I just try to keep that in mind when I get really frustrated with Harley. It's literally like having a new baby. I've had three babies. I've had three newborns. It's so much like that. Just the lack of sleep, the commitment to training, which is really just like parenting humans. It's the same.
A lot of poo, a lot of pee.
Yep. Waking up to a shit-filled diaper, or in our case, a poopy-filled crate.
Oh, the dog just barfed on me, you know?
Yeah. She just barfed on the floor a little this morning, but she ate it up before I could clean it. So I just wiped up that area.
It's those toys, I'm pretty sure. She gets a little plastic.
She drank water and then I think she's choked. Oh. That's what happened in this particular case, but right. Possibly. Okay. And it's just really interesting seeing through the hard days and looking back, you know, understanding that it was all worth it. It's all very similar to parenting my human babies. So I was done having children after my third, and here we are. So I thought that was funny. I wanted to share that with everyone. And here are some pictures of all of my doggies. I just love rescuing so much, though it's kind of heartbreaking. It is kind of heartbreaking. There's a lot of medical issues, but even if we can give her 6 months of love and a happy home, that makes me really happy. Oh, for some reason, they didn't upload.
Yeah.
Rachel, the photo didn't come through.
Bummer.
We'll see if they do on Sean's computer.
There's a little question mark on that.
Yeah.
You can see an outline of a JPEG, a square. Image.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll see if we can get them, if they'll come through on Sean's computer. If not, feel free to resend. I'm so sorry. I don't know why they didn't come through. Okay. Anyway. So again, I just want to thank you all so much for what you do. It's been such a bright light in my life. And you know, what I love most about it is Katie, that you're such a professional in AKA and with your books, and I'm sure with your talks and definitely with your workshops as a super duper professional and really know your shit. But then I like seeing the human side too. And I think that's really important to model that for people, particularly people like myself that follow you on AKA first and struggle with mental health issues, to show that you're human too and that we're all human. Yeah, I think that's the thing. I don't want people to think that just because I'm a therapist, like I know everything, I have my shit together, and I don't, you know, I'm a person too, right?
Right. Like it's like that TV show Behind the Masked Singer, or no, what would it, or when they, a magician behind them. Mm-hmm. No, that's not a good example either. But yeah, just showing like behind the scenes.
BTS, behind the scenes.
Yeah. Or, you know, you're a person.
Yeah.
You know, you're not just the therapist. I think people like to know that, that there's more to the person, or they want to know more. I don't know.
Well, I think there's something, I don't know if this is just, Rachel, you let me know, but for me, I feel like sometimes when I see people who I look up to, or I think have like information that I'm really interested in, or that I think is enjoyable, and, you know, I watch it, it's nice to know that they're not perfect either, because it makes me less judgmental of myself. And nobody likes, and this sounds bad to say, but nobody likes someone with like a perfect life, because nobody has a perfect life, and we all know it's a farce, but it in turn can cause me to judge myself. If that makes sense. Anyway, I'm glad you enjoy it. Okay. So, and we can all let off steam and enjoy chitty chats. I just love how different you are on OTDM, but that you're the same person and very authentic. It's nice to model that. I'm a former teacher, but still a teacher because I homeschool. I know, that's so much work. Kudos to you. I just really wanted to mention that to you because I did a lot with SEL, social emotional learning. Interesting. And I just wanted to say, I see you, girl. I see you modeling humanity and humility and like needing a break and having fun and enjoying life. And, you know, I love when Sean will ask questions kind of about mental health issues and just the way that you respond to him. I just love y'all's dynamic and wish you the best. And really, I'm so glad I found you. So I'm doing my best to help you all and share the podcast and share the love. But I just wanted to write in and say I'd be happy to fill the Pennsylvania correspondent position and also teach you which is Pennsylvania Dutch. Gotcha. I was just reading that weird. So with that, I'll sign off. I'm excited to finally take the time to write in. I know. I'm so glad that you did. And I hope y'all are having a wonderful day and keep doing what you're doing. You're spreading so much joy. You've already given such a huge gift, many, many things. And thank you so much. Have a great day. I will send a hex sign to you painted by me if I can figure out where to locate an address. Mach's gut, which means make good in Pennsylvania Dutch. Rachel.
Oh.
Very cool.
Pleasure to meet you, Rachel. And thank you for writing in such a lovely letter. And yeah, we're very excited to have you. Pennsylvania Dutch artist in residence.
I know. Super, super cool. Our address at my P.O. box is 1779 Wells Branch Parkway, Suite 110B, number 353, Austin, Texas, 78728.
There you have it.
But we'll put it in the description. Isn't it in the descriptions?
I believe it is.
But that's our P.O. box. So you can send things in. And that's so nice of you to offer.
I love art.
Yay. I'm excited. Yeah. Anyway, that was wonderful. And please, like Sean said, recipes, anything cool.
Yeah. I'm
I would love to learn.
I would like to get some of your recipes.
And phrases, how to say phrases in Pennsylvania Dutch.
Yeah.
Those are fun. Remember when we had our Norwegian correspondent, Christina, I think?
Yes.
Send us in, and we really messed it up. I'm sorry. I apologize. But anyway.
We'll do our best to learn.
Yeah. Okay, that's all the time we have for today. I would love to hear from you what you do on New Year's. Also, if you have any funny, or if there's any, okay, two things. otdmpod@gmail.com. You can send in stories about anything, really. But just to spark your interest. Are there any fun traditions for New Year's, things that you guys do? I would love to hear it, because in the States, we're pretty boring. I think Canada's the same as us. They count it down. We cheers. We kiss on New Year's. I don't know why we kiss, but that's just what we do. We move on.
We move on.
That's really it, right? There's no like, we don't make any particular food.
The older I get, the earlier I go to bed on New Year's, you know? Like I liked living on the West Coast, because then you could get the East Coast feed. The ball would drop at 9, you know.
I like how you pretend you went to bed before midnight.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Like you start to be like, do I really want to stay up that late?
I know, but.
Usually I'll stay up watching a movie. That's my thing. I don't like being on the road as I've gotten older.
But Sean's
I do not like being on the road.
A funny thing to know holidays. About Sean. You ready?
Yeah, sure.
He likes to do the thing that you're supposed to do for that event. So like the event for New Year's entails staying up till midnight.
Yeah.
He will do that. I don't foresee us, even when we get older, going to bed before midnight. Sean will be like, it's New Year's. Like there's events we've been through how many years together? And Sean will be like, well, no, we got to do this is what we do. We just got to do the bare minimum at the very least.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Like if I didn't want to put the tree up, he'd be like, we have to put the tree up before Christmas. It's Christmas.
Yeah, that's true.
He likes, and I appreciate that about you, like traditions. Sean has some traditions that it necessitates.
Right.
But stories I want from you are traditions that you have around New Year's. If there's anything cool or funky or something that your family always makes or does, or do you always wear sequins and get dressed up?
I do.
Sean always does.
I like a good sequin suit.
That would be kind of fun,
suit made of sequins.
Wouldn't that be kind of fun?
I think it'd be awesome.
It'd be super fun.
Like an Elvis suit.
But sequins are always so expensive, so you can't really have it for fun, you know, because it's expensive.
Do they make men's sequin suits?
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
I think Caleb has a sequins blazer. Mm-hmm. I don't know about pants, but.
He just had a hair transplant.
He did.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. And
I was laughing because on Instagram, he's like, because the guy just doesn't give two shits about
things. Which is why I love Caleb.
Yeah. And he's walking down the street, probably has a Starbucks in his hand, I forget. Mm-hmm. And his head has clearly been injured. He's got like this paint.
Blood.
Yeah, it's dots. Like. Blood dots on the back of his head, and then like the top of his head where I guess the new hair went, there's like iodine red kind of like.
Well, couldn't put a hat on because you can't push into it.
Right. And he's walking down the street and he's laughing and filming himself. He's like, only in Beverly Hills can you look, you know, walk down the street looking like you've been mauled by a tiger and nobody says cares. Anything. You know? Mm-hmm. He's like, nobody cares.
I'll never forget. I was in the elevator once coming out of a doctor's office in like Beverly Hills-ish. Mm. Oh, it was when I had that ear. Remember that ear? Do you guys remember this? I had one of my ears. This is like probably like 3 or 4 years ago now, maybe 5 years ago. It was sloughing off. I guess our eardrums regularly like slough off some of the skin on them. But mine got caught. And so it didn't slough off. Well, I had to go to all these appointments and stuff. And I went into Beverly Hills to go to an ear, nose, and throat specialist. And that's just where the closest one was when we lived in Santa Monica. And I was in this elevator and this lady had a little bag of frozen peas. She was holding it on her forehead. And I was like, so weird, it's frozen peas. And she was like, Botox. And I was like, oh. And she's like, the things we do for beauty. And she was probably in like her 60s or whatever.
Yeah.
She didn't look crazily done, but it is funny. In LA, it's like, she didn't even have to tell me. I probably would have figured it out. But there was a second where I was like, huh. And then she just told me. And then I was like, oh, and we just went about our, you do what you do. I wonder why my ear isn't hearing like it's supposed to be. You're wondering why your face is wrinkling. We don't want it. Everybody's just doing their thing. LA's like not, it's judgmental in a different way.
Right.
It's not judgmental about you getting procedures.
No, it certainly isn't. I've been in a restaurant once in Los Angeles. Now, when you were talking about that, just brought it up. I was in Beverly Hills, the diner across from Barry's office.
Oh, yeah.
Not diner, place. But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People will go in when they're getting their hair done.
Yeah. Well, I was in there. It's not a big place. I mean, no, it has like tiny. Five tables, two different tables, two different nose jobs, or what I would assume was a nose job because their face was wrapped on the nose. And,
yeah.
And I was like, amazing. This place is just.
Well, there's a really prominent plastic surgeon around the corner there.
Oh.
In that, I want to say it's like Brighton and Bedford. It's that right across like kitty corner from where you were.
Mm.
Yeah. The Brighton Coffee Shop, if you're in Beverly Hills, I highly recommend. They make really good sandwiches. Their clam chowder is the bomb. And they also
that's
have
what's
really
called,
good
right?
coffee.
Huh? Yeah. They were so nice. The clam chowder.
Oh. And the service is so good.
Yeah. Very nice. I think it's a family that owns it.
Yeah, we'll have to pop in when we're in LA. There's some places we'll have to write down like things we want to pop in when we're out and about. It'll be excellent. Fun to go back. Okay. So letters about things that you do on New Year's, fun things. And then remember earlier I mentioned things that you have done to keep people who are wanting to be a new suitor for you away when you're like, I'm not right. interested. Funny random last story.
Yeah.
So my friend Liz and I can't even fully make sense of this story, even as I tell you, because it was all very scattered. And also we were drinking because we were like 23, but we ended up at it wasn't the Sky Bar. I think it was like at the Mondrian, had this rooftop bar in LA. Liz and I, we just like to go out. We were not dating anybody. We weren't interested in dating anybody. We just wanted to go dance. Any of my dancers out there, I love to dance. Give me some hip hop. I will dance all night. So anyway, I remember we were both wearing like just like cute cotton dresses and heels, going out to have a good time. And we go to the bar. Liz always drank like a vodka cranberry, and I don't remember what I was drinking at the time. But we place our orders, and some guy insists on buying them for us, which is kind of interesting if anybody else can understand this. It's like, it's nice because you're like, oh, I don't have to spend $16 on a cocktail, but you're also like, I don't really want to talk to you, so I'll just get my own, please. And he insisted. No. So out the drinks come, he pays for them. We talk to him for a little bit, then we proceed to go out and dance. And this guy will not leave us alone. So he's like, keeps showing up from behind, like Tom, when you said that woman showed up from behind. I hate that. It was like, ah, like we thought we'd escaped. We had to go to the bathroom. We come out, he's back. Bow, bam, everywhere we go. So finally, we finish our drinks. We say thank you to him again. Then we say we're going to go to the bathroom, and we hightail it down the stairs because we were going to take the elevator, and we could see him coming. He saw us. He was coming. And we were like, we can't wait for this elevator.
Ladies!
Hey, it was
ladies.
Like one of those shows where it's like the murderer is going to try to get them and they can't close the elevator. Like the elevator just wasn't coming fast enough because we're like on the 19th floor or something crazy. We're young enough. We just sprint down those stairs.
Oh, you ran away down the stairs.
All the way down to the first floor. In high heels. I don't know how. Liz had our feet not fall off. Nobody knows. That's probably the most ridiculous scenario where we had to get away from someone who was just insistent upon paying us attention that we did not want. I would have gladly bought my own drink. Thank you very much.
There you have it, folks.
Anyway, have a wonderful, wonderful New Year's Eve.
Be safe out there.
Yes. Don't get on the road if you don't have to. Have a DD. Call a Lyft. Call an Uber.
Stay home.
It's never worth it. Have fun. Eat some good food. Drink if you drink. Don't if you don't.
Make some crank phone calls. I don't know. Do what makes you happy.
Be around the people that you like being around, even if that's a dog.
Yeah.
Okay, we love you. Have a wonderful one, and we'll see you later. Bye.
Bye. See you in 2023. I was about to say
2024.
2023. Yeah, I was like, what year is it?
You're just going to skip right over?
Well, sometimes I do that. I don't know what year it is.
It's going to take a while. If I remember in school, I would always write the wrong year for like, I don't know.
The other day I wrote 2021.
Hey, it's been a weird scramble bamble. 2020 to now.
Yeah.
What's happening? Right. Okay, we love you. See you later. Bye. Bye.